because he was willing to go to the cross and pay the penalty. So let's consider, secondly, then, and now there are 8 points here, and I'm going to give you some verses to support these. If you're writing and jotting these down, you may want to go to the back of your page there in order to get all of them. Or if you're a tiny writer, you can get those 8 points in there, because I've done it. I checked it out. But let's look. It manifests, there's 8 points. One, it manifests the power of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as we look and reflect and think about the person of God and the glory of his person, and we begin to look, think about the glory of his work, his deeds, the things that he did, we want to focus now for a few moments on the resurrection. And the resurrection, that work that God did through Jesus, it manifests to us the power of God. You know what that means? It means, and it tells us, that when we put our trust or our faith in Jesus Christ, just as those that trusted and went to Joseph for help in Egypt, and he had the supplies, he had the sufficiency because of his planning and because of his glory and because of the administration of his position, he was able to care for them. He was able to save their lives. In the same way, Christ, through the power of the resurrection, has displayed to us that he is able to save us. He is able to deliver you from the grave. And the grave is our greatest enemy. It manifests his power. Look at verses 40 through 43 in Acts chapter 10. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Now these witnesses are proclaiming the glory of Christ. And he ordered us to preach to the people the solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. We'll stand before him. Whether we're righteous or whether we're wicked, we'll stand and answer before him because he has been made the judge of the living and dead. He's been given that position, that seat of authority. He's the one that you want to know. He's the one that can help you. He is the one that is able to save you to the uttermost. Verse 43, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. Let's go on. Point two, it brought an end to the agony of death. Acts 2:24, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. Are you afraid of death? I'm asking you, have you thought about it? Are you afraid of death? Jesus Christ ended the agony of death. He provided a way where, though we most certainly, if the Lord tarries, will physically die and our bodies will go to the grave and it will turn to dust. But Almighty God has provided a way to end the agony of death. And that's an amazing thing. It's glory. It's glorious. His power manifest through the resurrection of God's Son has displayed to us that there is sufficient power to bring you up from the grave. Thirdly, it provides the Holy Spirit for men. Acts 2, 32 and 33. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. He poured forth the Holy Spirit. He has sent the Spirit of God to indwell you and me. And the only way that could happen was to deal with the sin issue that's in our heart and lives. He provided the Holy Spirit for men. He provided forgiveness of sin. The God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. God has provided a way for the forgiveness of your sins, and it's only through this prince, this savior. He's the only one that can deal with your sin. Number five, it provides freedom from sin. Wonderful thing. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things, from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Do you want to be free, truly free? Freedom comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was purchased. It was accomplished by the power of the resurrection. It provides power for mortal bodies. Some of you are saying, well, how do I have victory over my sinful life? I've got all these problems, and I feel like I'm in bondage, and I know that I've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the power of the resurrection is the key to it. The Apostle Paul says, praise that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death. Knowing the power of his resurrection by faith is the key to knowing the power over your mortal body. And Romans 8:11 says that the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life or quicken your mortal bodies through his spirit. That's the key. It's God's spirit that gives victory over sin. He gives freedom from sin, gives power over sin. Number 7, it transforms us into his image. Catch this verse. You don't write another one down. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Now you remember the prayer that Jesus prayed. I pray that they may be with me to behold my glory. But what the point that Paul is making here is that when we see the face of Christ, when we behold him by faith, we're in the process of being transformed, made new, renewed, because it's God's intention to conform you to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's God's goal for your life. That's what he desires and he wants for you. He wants for you to be transformed into the same image of Christ, from glory to glory. That's his plan. And it happens by faith as you behold him, as you see those things. Thank you, brother. I can use that. We're transformed by the glory of Jesus Christ. Number 8, the power and the glory of the resurrection provides for us a new heart. And Ezekiel 36:26 said, moreover, I will give to you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Because in the new covenant, this is a prophecy about the new covenant that would come through Jesus Christ, through the Messiah. And in this new covenant, man is given a new heart. Now, we're not talking about a physical heart here, but we're talking about the spiritual insides, the control room of our lives. And God has provided a way through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through his power and his glory, to give you a new heart. And spiritually speaking, each one of us needed that. The Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We need to be made anew because of the problem of sin. So as we think on these things, how is it that we behold the glory of Christ? We're going to see him face to face. There will be a future time where we will see him. But we behold his glory now. We behold the glory of his person. We behold the glory of his works. According to 1 Peter 1:8, we know his glory by faith. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So there's a glory that we experience in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone know who this man is? Anyone? Pardon? Okay. Does this help? He won the Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction in 1969. Okay, here's another one. Anyone recognize who this is? Somebody's got it. National Medal of Science in 1987. There you go. It's Dr. Michael DeBakey. Okay? All right. Here he is. Today you may recognize him in his surgical uniform there. This guy developed the Mobile Army Surgical Hospitals. You would know it as MASH. You know, if you've seen the shows, he's the one that put those things together. He conceived it creatively figured out ways to save the lives of many of our soldiers in the Korean and Vietnam War. And he did many other things in his research. He is noted for just one glorious award after another. And he invented perfecting scores of medical devices and techniques and procedures which have led to the healthy hearts and productive lives for millions throughout the world. Dacron arteries, arterial bypass operations. My father had the benefit of probably another 7 or 8 years of life because of the bypass surgery. And you know, probably many here that have enjoyed life because of some of this man's research. He is Time Surgeon of the Year and many awards that he has won. But they call him a living legend, a genuine healer of the human heart. You see? And would you not trust Dr. DeBakey and his school of medicine if there was something wrong with your physical human heart? I mean, he'd be the one that you want to go to. I'd want to pack up and go to Houston because that's where this research has come from. And there's other good hospitals. I'm not saying that. And there's been a lot of teaching and a lot of things that have gone forth in these years of this man's life. But there's glory. There's a glory that he has. And he is a genuine healer of the human heart. But how much more the Lord Jesus Christ? What would it mean to behold and to put your trust in him? Would you trust Dr. DeBakey? I know he's getting older now and might not be the greatest surgeon, but we would entrust ourselves and to this person and to his skill, and he'd know which surgeon to get for us or whatever, but we would entrust ourselves to him. But the question is, will you entrust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see his glory as sufficient? Does he have the resources to do what he said he would do? Look at John chapter 6, verse 40 there. I have it on the screen. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds, there's our word now, he beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Now, from what I see in this passage and this promise or these words of Jesus, he is saying, if you behold me, if you look and see my glory and believe and put your trust in me. Now, what that simply means is just like you would are putting yourself in the trust of the Houston Heart Hospital for the health of your living physical heart because they might be able to do something for you. Jesus Christ is able. In his glory, his power is sufficient. His ability is sure. The outcome is certain because he is able. He is able to change and transform the human heart. He is able to give to you and to me eternal life. And he will raise you up on the last day. Do you understand? The thing that we celebrate this morning, the glory of the resurrection, has been shared and provided for you. There's only one thing that's needed, and that is to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see his resurrection for what it is and what it means, and to put your trust in him. To say, Jesus, I believe that what you have said about me is true, that my sin is separated from you for all eternity apart from the provision that you have made. But through your death and resurrection, provision has been made sufficient to change my heart, to transform my life, to draw me into an eternal relationship with living and almighty God. So I would encourage you to behold the glory of Christ by faith. John Owen said, may we count it one of the greatest privileges we have both in this world and for eternity to behold the glory of Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for the glory and majesty of Jesus, for the wonder of the resurrection, for